Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. So glad you're able to come in from the cold outside and warm up in here. If you had an opportunity to watch any of the postseason football games, maybe you noticed just how amazing it is to watch TV on the new TVs, these QLEDs, the OLEDs, the different contrasts in the colors, how lifelike and bright and brilliant everything looks. Whether it's that or just your regular home theater watching movies, it makes you want to watch more and more because of how amazing it looks. Well, today God has some brilliant light in store for us as we take a look at Jesus' transfiguration and the glorious light of the gospel. It makes us want to keep looking, keep watching, and soak it all in. A growing forward congregation wants to grow in that gospel vision. We'll follow along with the order of service as it's laid out for us in the worship folder and also projected on the screen. Let's begin with our first hymn, O Splendor of God's Glory Bright, 586. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, God's glory and love shone through you that day on the mountain, and you persisted in revealing that glory and love through your words and deeds, through your life of humble service. We hear again these wonderful words of God, "You are my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." We confess that we have not listened to you because of the influence on our lives of the gods of this world. When this happens, our attitudes conceal rather than reveal your glory and your love. We have concealed your love because our pursuit of other priorities prevents us from seeing and serving people in need. We have concealed your glory and reflected our own self-centeredness. We have concealed your truth by not taking up opportunities to share your saving grace with others. We have concealed your mercy by our hard and unforgiving attitudes. We have concealed your compassion by our prejudice and intolerance. Lord Jesus Christ, Cleanse our lives of all shameful attitudes of mind and heart, so that we reveal your glory in and through all we do and say and are. This we pray in your name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of grace and glory, before your Son turned his face to Jerusalem and Mount Calvary, on another mountain you revealed his glory. Sustain your church both by his glory and also by your grace, and help us to reflect the glory of your love to all. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may take your seats for the scripture lessons. Our first lesson today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and these words will serve as the basis for our sermon. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is the word of our God. Continue with the solo.
Thank you.
Please stand. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 9. How glorious a sight it would have been to see Jesus transfigured on that mountain. That was a sight that gave strength to Jesus' disciples for the dark days that lay ahead as Jesus journeyed to Calvary. But because Jesus was willing to hang in the darkness there on Calvary, you and I too will see his face in glory. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
May be seated for hymn 97.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. God's word we consider today in our sermon, the first lesson from 2 Corinthians 4. Let us pray. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me, O Lord. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Amen. Did you get something for Valentine's Day this year? Maybe yesterday or this morning, or don't worry, it could happen yet this afternoon. Valentine's Day lasts all day long. This past week at our school on Wednesday, many of the school children brought cards and candies and chocolate, even flowers, and had Valentine's Day parties there. When you receive a Valentine from someone, whether it is sweet or fragrant, whether it's humorous or sappy, it grabs you right in the heart. It brightens your spirits. It lets you know that someone cares about you, that someone loves you. Today, God gives us a Valentine of sorts as he reaches for our heart with his light. And as he does so, it leaves us longing for more and more. A growing forward congregation, and yes, individual growing forward Christians, have every desire to keep that vision of God's light shining on their hearts, that special Valentine love from him. So today, as we take a closer look at 2 Corinthians 4, we ask, Lord, shine in our hearts through the veil and also through the gospel. The Christians in Corinth were starting to question their relationship with the Apostle Paul. He had changed his travel plans and delayed one of his visits to them. And in the meantime, there were some other apostles, not the true apostles, but some super apostles, or at least that's what they thought of themselves. They made a big deal, these other apostles did, about their pedigree, how they were descended from Abraham himself, about how they were well-trained and polished speakers, and how they had a slightly different but better gospel than what Paul brought them, a better Jesus. Well, in fact, they were peddling the gospel for profit. They were deceiving people and twisting God's word. Paul maintains here in 2 Corinthians, we, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and the other apostles, their main goal was to set forth plainly the simple truth of God's word. There in Corinth, there was an even darker, more insidious force going on, though, trying to keep people from seeing the true glory in Christ. Paul says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As bright as the light of the sun is, it's the brightest light we know of, right? Brightest light in creation. The light of the sun can be hidden. It can be blocked from people. Many people buy light-blocking curtains, a curtain, a veil, shades that block out the sunlight, especially if they work during the night and need to sleep during the day, or if they work in a media room where they need to be able to see things very clearly on a screen, maybe for a home theater room. They get these light-blocking curtains that blocks out virtually all the sunlight. These curtains can be different colors or different patterns or white, but they block out the sun's light. An even greater light is being blocked out here in Sheboygan County and in Wisconsin and around the world, just as it was back there for the Corinthians. The light of God's glory. God says here that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of God's glory. The God of this age is none other than the devil himself. Now that may sound strange to us to hear scriptures referring to the devil as a god, but consider this. The devil is very powerful. Remember Job in the Old Testament, how much loss and pain the devil was able to inflict on him? The devil also has authority, not as much authority or power as God, but the devil has great authority, so that even Jesus in the Gospels calls the devil the prince of this world. In Ephesians, he's called the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And the devil is also idolized, because billions of people in this world follow after the devil's ways, his proud ways of wanting to take God's place, put themselves in the place of God, and live however they want, do whatever they want. The devil is rightly called the god of this age. And Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That has been the devil's goal ever since the beginning, to deceive people to death so that they perish. He wants to keep people in darkness here, and eventually in the darkness of the grave, so that ultimately they are thrown out into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, outside of God's presence forever. The world sees glory as trying to do what is good, or trying to enjoy what is good as long as they can here, but they are blind, because they can't see the big picture. Notice God calls him the god of this age. The devil's power and his authority is limited. He puts blinders on so you can't see into eternity, and you perish. Yet even among God's people, among us believers, the devil is at work trying to close the drapes and to hide God's glory from us. Just as he did among the Corinthian congregation, he tries to separate believers from their called workers, to create distrust and suspicion between them. You should expect your called workers to bring God's word to you. You should allow your called workers to bring God's word to you. You should encourage your called workers to bring God's word to you. And if you're not, and if we're not, the devil is tilting those shades and blocking the glory of the gospel in Christ that he wants brought from your called workers to you. The devil has many other ways he tries to do that too. We think of God's word as, there's nothing so enlightening in there. I've heard most of it already before, and there's some difficult things to read. And our Bibles, they stay closed for days or weeks at a time. Or we get so caught up in injustices that we notice out in politics or with the pandemic or out in public life that we get so focused on those things that we can't see Christ. Or we have a loved one in our family die. Or we've been battling a health condition. Or there's a falling out between us and a friend, and we work ourselves down into a spiral where we feel so caught up and stuck in darkness. Or the shiny things of this age distract us from the glories of eternal life that God wants to show us. We get distracted by the comforts of our home so that we don't come into God's house. We get distracted by video games and streaming series so that we don't do online worship if we're in that segment of people who's just staying at home right now. We get distracted with time in the great outdoors so that we're not pursuing God's kingdom in his word, time with our great God there. The devil trying to close the drapes, to tilt the curtains on us. And if he continues to do so, it will be curtains. Darkness forever. Lord, shine in our hearts through that veil, through that curtain, through the work of the God of this age. Lord, shine in our hearts through the gospel. How brightly Jesus' face shined. As Jesus led Peter, James, and John up onto that mountain of transfiguration, Jesus' face shined like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them. Looking at Jesus up on that mountain was like looking at the sunlight reflecting off of a broad field blanketed with pure white snow. Amazing. There, looking at Jesus was looking at the image of God. When you look at Jesus, it's looking at God because Jesus is God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he didn't get to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he did see Jesus' glorious light. As Paul was on the way to Damascus, a blinding light flashed all around him. Paul fell to the ground, and Jesus spoke to him, "I'm going to send you to go and open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that their sins will be forgiven." And even though you and I weren't on the Mount of Transfiguration, even though you and I weren't there with Paul on the way to Damascus, we have seen his glorious light. Listen to what Paul says. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." In the beginning, there was nothing, just God. And on the first day, when God said, "Let there be light," his powerful word created that light so that light shined in the darkness. God didn't need electricity. God didn't need a light bulb or a light switch. He didn't need the sun or the stars. His powerful word created light. And God's powerful word has created in our dark and ignorant and cold towards him hearts, God has said, "Let there be light." He has given us the light of the knowledge of his glory displayed in the face of Christ. That light is knowledge. That's what Paul says here. So in the same way that light helps us to see our friends and family members' faces so that we know what they look like, the same way that light helps us see so that we can read and gain knowledge, this light helps us to know something, to know the glory of God. Paul defined that in the previous chapter, and he said, the surpassing glory. The surpassing glory is this, that Christ came not to condemn us, but to bring us righteousness. We are no longer under God's condemnation. Because of Christ, we are right in every way with God, forgiven, righteous, through faith in him. That is the glory, the God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Christ, the Son of God, who took our place under the law, who took our place under God's holy wrath, who crushed the God of this age as he went to the cross and rose again. Over the past few weeks in the gospel lessons, we've seen the face of Christ call sinners like you and me to follow him in faith. We've seen the face of Christ bring light and wisdom to dim people like you and me. We've seen the face of Christ deal with people who are captive to the devil and his demons, just like you and me, setting them free, driving the devil away. And in the weeks to come, we will see the face of Christ set out resolutely for Jerusalem. We'll see the face of Christ silently enduring trial under Pontius Pilate, and bowing as he gives up his spirit for you and for me, as he dies on the cross to win glory for us. A few years ago on CBS 60 Minutes, there was a special about two eye doctors who did work in 24 developing countries. Through their work, they restored the sight of over 150,000 people. In all those developing countries, cataracts are becoming a big problem. And in those countries with that situation that they're in, as they start to lose their sight, they just give into it. They come to accept the fact that that's just the way it's going to be. But these two doctors were able to make small incisions in their eyes, pull the cataracts out, and put in a new lens so that they could see again. Could you imagine being able to see again when all you saw was darkness? When you were blind? To see your friends and your family members, to see a white snowfall or the colorful flowers in the spring, green grass waving in the summer, the bright oranges and reds and yellows of the leaves changing color in the fall. You wouldn't want to blink. You wouldn't want to look away. You wouldn't want to go to sleep. Just keep on looking to see that glorious sight. Well, it's a sight even more glorious that God puts before our eyes that were once blind but can now see. He's put before us today in the gospel, in the face of Christ. This is bright. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. God shows this glory to us in our baptisms. You'll see it again in communion as you receive Jesus' body and blood, Jesus truly present with the bread and wine. And this means that one day you will see God in glory, in all of his brightness, in all of his brilliance. This is God's glorious love, God's Valentine for you. A growing forward Christian wants to keep looking at it, wants to take it in, wants to soak it all up. Lord, shine in our hearts through your gospel. Now, those two doctors, they realized that if we teach other doctors in those countries how to perform this procedure, even more people can receive their sight. And so that's what they did. And by equipping and training more doctors in those other developing countries, over 4 million people received their sight again. Our Growing Forward campaign has really been about this: involving and keeping others involved in bringing the light of Christ to others. That's what we want each of you to consider. How can I be involved with my prayers, with my support, by passing the message along to others? You don't have to be an eye surgeon to be involved. All you have to have is a love for the light of God's glory in Christ. To love looking at it, to love gazing at it and soaking it in and taking it all in. We want to let that light shine on us. Be more eager for that than a celebrity at a tanning salon. Lord, shine in our hearts through the veil of the devil's work, through the gospel. How glorious it is. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the light of the world so that the world may have light and life through him. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord will be with you always.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Take your seats for the communion distribution. Please note our practice of close communion at St. Paul's, and if you're visiting with us, check out the announcement on the screen and in the bulletin. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body. Take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sins. Also take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the full and free forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart at peace with God. Amen.